All right. Hello, everybody. It's the Wrestling with the Willies podcast. It's been a minute, but thankfully it hasn't been that damn long since the last time we did one of the podcasts,
Not like the
because it's
last
only
time.
been a couple weeks, I think, maybe since Revolution happened, maybe 3 weeks. But we're doing Revolution 2024 edition. So, and I don't have my shit up for the matches or whatever, but when it gets been, I don't know. A while
It's been a
since then.
month.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I
Yeah,
couldn't remember how long it's been.
it was
I knew
March
that it was.
3rd.
Oh, okay. So it's just been a month. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, trying to do all these podcasts and all this stuff and streaming a lot, especially Adam's been streaming a lot lately. It seems like every day he's been streaming. So.
yeah, you can probably hear him in the background if you guys
Yeah,
listen to
you'll
the
probably
podcast.
hear him in the background, yeah, more than likely, because I think he's streaming currently as we're filming this.
I'll
So.
try to cut out the background noise, but you might hear him say stuff in the background. But the first, there were two preliminary matches on the kickoff show. The first one was the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, which is
Yeah.
basically the Acclaimed with Billy Gunn and or
And
the Guns and basically
Bullet
Bullet
Club
Club.
Gold.
Yeah. And then they defeated Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party. I don't know why Jeff Jarrett just continues to.
Hold on, why was Private Party with Jeff Jarrett in them? What?
Because they had to find a place for him, I guess. I mean,
I guess, yeah, like that.
but to caveat that, we did not watch the pre-show,
Yeah, we usually
so
don't watch the kickoff show anyway. And
we don't. Yeah, we
I
don't
think
watch it
we just
for.
launched it late. Yeah, because we had to split it over a couple of days because
Well.
we sometimes like getting on to like do the pay-per-view or whatever is the task by
Well, this
itself. Like
the pay-per-view
WrestleMania is
with
gonna be worse,
the
but
pay-per-view itself only went 4 hours, and there were only 8 matches on the card, so that'll tell you something.
yeah, and it
So,
oh, excuse me.
but yeah, I mean, we didn't watch it, so that the Bang Bang Scissor Gang won that match.
And
I can't really
it's
speak
funny,
to
you
it.
know that we're already talking about it now. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang are already split up already. So it
Yeah.
didn't take them long. I thought it was kind of weird. I don't know. Tony Khan's been doing some weird decisions lately.
Well,
And
yeah,
like
his
the whole time, I haven't been saying, I've been trying not to like bring the comparisons between WCW and WWE now. And now it's just becoming mundane,
Well, yeah, I
which we'll
mean,
talk about it more later, but.
yeah, I mentioned that I keep seeing it going late WCW realm
Yeah,
is
it's
what's
like,
happening. And
because decisions that I don't know why they came up with in the first place, and they already like kind of scrapped plans already. So like literally this match didn't even matter because I think it was on Dynamite a couple of weeks ago, they split them up where essentially I forgot who. Oh, Darby Allin. That's what it was. They beat up Darby Allin. I think it was actually the first week after after this. I think what the events that happened from this pay-per-view reacted to that because I think currently Darby Allin is off. I think.
well, he got hurt again.
Oh, okay.
But
So.
during from the match on this card, so we'll talk about it
Oh,
later.
okay. Yeah, I'm not
But
surprised. I'm
I
not
think he
surprised.
but anyways, the second match on the pre-show was the Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart and Sky Blue.
That seemed kind of like a waste of. That just seemed like they were just filling the card, really.
Well, Dave Meltzer, you know, he does his star ratings, right? And
Yeah.
he rated that one and a match later, the lowest rated matches on the card. He gave both of them 2 stars. The other one he gave was the 10-man tag
Well,
match.
I will say this. I'm getting tired of, like, I don't think star ratings matter when it comes to the matches.
I'm
I
just telling.
believe.
I'm just
I be
pointing out what
No,
he,
I
how he
get that.
rated them.
I mean, it's mostly because I've been seeing a lot of stuff where it's like a lot of times it's like either against Dave Meltzer or with him. And like, I think he has obvious bias of not being a WWE person. I think that's really, I don't think he's ever really cared about WWE wrestling because, I mean, there's not like people have talked to before about Kurt Angle not having a 5-star match. And I just don't believe that. And then later on, we'll talk more, because since this has happened, there's a CM Punk interview that came out that kind of sheds some light on issues that have we have talked about on previous podcasts. So I kind of wanted to mention it, knowing that he used to be an AEW dude and went to WWE. I wanted to mention it on this one because it's kind of like with what's being talked about.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out the ratings because that was on the pre-show and it was one of the lowest rated on the
card. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
the other one was the 10-man tag match.
Which was that the one, the first one, the Satnam Singh one? Or was it the other match that was on the card?
Yeah, it was the two pre-show matches.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'm not
that's why I'm
surprised.
saying it's funny that they rated them that low. But with that, we can go ahead. Since we did not watch them, we'll go ahead with the first match on the card, and that was Christian Cage with Killswitch Mother Wayne and the Prodigy Nick Wayne. He defeated Daniel Garcia.
Well, yeah.
And that match was 16 minutes and 50 seconds. I didn't point out the pre-show matches because we didn't watch them. But I typically point these out when we're talking about it. And when we talk about WrestleMania, I guarantee you there will be a difference in timing for the
Oh,
matches.
I'm sure, because they have
Because
2 days
the
full of
shortest,
wrestling
yeah, the
and,
shortest match on this card was Tony Storm's match later on.
And that's probably like 16 minutes or 15,
12
10 minutes
minutes
or something.
it was 12 it was 12 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah. So,
But
once you go, so yeah, like, okay, I'm over that. Like, I'm not a huge Christian Cage person anyway, so like, lately I haven't been really enthused with stuff, and I really like Daniel Garcia, but I feel that's why I say this is a problem with AEW, is that their matches feel like they should matter, and sometimes they don't.
well,
Like,
part of the problem is, and I've talked to friends of mine, part of the problem AEW has is they don't have a build up to the card. Like half this card you didn't even know about until a couple of weeks before the frickin' pay-per-view.
oh yeah, and
So
I
it's like,
get like certain matches you don't really, you're just planning them beforehand, but like
yeah, but a
especially
lot of
where
theirs
they've
are just
done a
put
lot of,
together at the end, though.
well, I mean, a lot of the time they end up having their long-term story angles, like stuff with Adam Cole and MJF and Hangman stuff, like whenever he was going for the title, certain things, even like Hangman versus Swerve. But it's like one or two, three, like one or two stories that they kind of build up over time. But then there's like a bunch where they just put together matches. And I think that's the problem with what they do. But I mean,
Well, one of the biggest problems
WWE
in
does it
this,
too. So I mean, they're not alone.
one of the biggest problems in this is Mother Wayne.
Yeah, I don't even know why she's even involved on the other than the patriarchy thing.
I don't
Because
either.
she clearly isn't a wrestler, right? She's
Well, and she's
clearly not a
clearly not
wrestler.
a
She's,
good actress either.
yeah, and she's not, and like, and once she tried to smack Edge, and it just kind of, you could tell that she was like not into it, or like she tried not to hurt him or whatever the slap thing was. Like, it was just like, no, she shouldn't be on TV. And I think that I get like trying to like have a storyline and stuff like that, and you're like, hey, like we'll do this, but some people don't need to be involved with wrestling, in my opinion. I don't like, just because Nick Wayne has been wrestling for a while now, like because he's been underage, like I think he started when he was 16 or something like 15 or 16. doesn't mean that his mom is going to be good at it. So, like, I understand the patriarchy thing, like his whole and like Christian's whole shtick is the patriarchy thing, where he has to make fun of the person's dad, especially if they died or not. It seems like, and then he'll be like, "I'll be your daddy, bitch," and that type of stuff. I understand
Well,
that,
yeah, that's the one thing
but.
I'm liking about Christian right now is the promos he's cutting.
Yeah, like the promos are fine, but like his wrestling stuff has never changed to me. Like, and I was like, I think my favorite version of them was like Edge and Christian type stuff when they were tagging together, but I've never been a huge fan of Christian. Like, mostly because he, I don't know what it is. It's just like, I just don't really care for him all that much. And I definitely think that the TNT belt should go to up and like you should treat it like the Intercontinental belt, I feel. Like anybody that's wanting to go for the next title, that's how you should treat the TNT belt. So anybody that gets it, like Cody Rhodes, Darby Allin, anybody that does that should be the next pedestal they should do. The world championship. Even if they do a match and they lose, that's what that belt should be like. And this is just like they have no clue what to do with it. So then they're just like, we'll give it to Christian. And then even then, it's like, then even after this match, because I mean, there was not anything that I remember from this match that I really cared about just because I knew Daniel Garcia wasn't winning. Like
But
there.
to tell you the truth, the entire, this was one of the worst AEW pay-per-views I've seen. There was I consider one match on the card, or maybe two, great, and then the rest were just, eh. I mean, so to sit there, that's the only unfortunate part is we sat there for 4 hours and we split it between 2 days because we started watching it late. Because Bleacher Report has a tendency to not, and Peacock does it now too. WWE Network used to be better where you could start it from the beginning, even if you started late. But now these networks both, you have to, if you start it late, you start from where it is going. So
Yeah, and then you gotta
basically,
wait like so much time to pass.
So ultimately we started it late. So instead of that, we started watching it after it was over, and Bleacher Report takes forever to put the pay-per-view up
Oh
on
yeah, so, because there's been
for a
moments where
replay.
like we couldn't even watch it until like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, so
And
then we
then
cut
I have
it.
to wake up at like a certain time. So like because my day job and stuff. So like most of the time if it's like that, then we have to wait until the next day at least to start watching it. And then we're working around with each other's schedules. So
So
that's pretty much what we had to do. Like I would watch it until I started getting tired. I'm like, okay, I'll come back to this the next day.
yeah, so like, and then the next match, since I think we're done talking about
Yeah, pretty
the
much. I
Christian
mean,
Cage one.
like, especially the only difference is that I hope that Daniel Garcia eventually wins the title because I think with his promo skills and how he wrestles, I definitely think he should have a belt at one point. It's like certain people, Santana and Ortiz, I'm surprised that they never had the tag titles, even though that now they're
Well,
like
now
not really a
Santana's not,
team.
well, Santana's not even in AEW anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
They just
Like,
did a, and
I
speaking
know
of
that they
which, they
said that
just
they
released
released
a
people.
few.
Like, it sounded like they said that they released Malakai Black and shit, but I don't know if that's
I
true.
haven't heard that one.
Yeah, like there was like something that I saw where they, it could have
What
been.
I
I watched it on April Fool's though, like
Yeah, what
on
I,
April 1st.
well, that's when they released them, but it was Stu Grayson,
Yeah, I
Dasha,
saw that. Yeah, Dasha
Anthony
Fuentes.
Henry, the boys, Jorah Jole, Slim J, Gravity, Parker Boudreau, and Jose the Assistant. Those were the releases that I
Which
know
I
of.
thought that they released Parker Boudreau like ages ago.
I thought so too, but you know, like, he was the next Brock Lesnar. I remember how they were touting him, and he's been horseshit.
Yeah, and then they didn't do anything with him.
Well, like, he must not be that good because WWE didn't keep him, and AEW now didn't.
Well, so that I just, mean, yeah. Well, like
think about who AEW has though, and they got rid of him.
So many fucking people. They have so many people.
Like, I know, but what I'm saying is that.
No, must like, not be that, that good they don't to keep. Have. Well, yeah, like I mean, also at the same time, their like roster is kind of very bloated right now. Like, I think that's their problem. It's same with like WWE. It's like I think they have ideas where they're like, oh, they fucked them up. Maybe we could try to do something better. It's like Miro is like one of them. Is that I feel like
well, they, honestly,
they started 90% with them, and then fucking
well, honestly, 90% of the WWE guys that went over there, they've done shit with.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, 90%.
Andrade left already.
Yeah, Andrade left. You know, Malakai Black and Buddy Murphy are gonna leave the minute they can.
Well, that's what I saw was, but I mean, it could have been on April 1st, so they could have said no, April Fools.
But like, they ain't doing
because really I saw that. Something where Malakai Black, Buddy Murphy, and then somebody else I can't remember the other name.
But you haven't even seen released. House of Black on anything.
Yeah,
you're seeing Julia Hart all over the place, but you're not seeing.
Yeah,
the rest of them,
like they, and Brody King and all them. I mean, like, yeah.
So, but yeah, but again, we're on Eddie Kingston. He defeated Bryan Danielson, and part of this match it was for the Continental Crown Championship. But if Danielson lost, he had to shake Kingston's hand.
Which I mean is cool because it kind of ties in with their dynamic at the time. But this like one was, now, it just feels like it was ruined. This match is probably one of my favorite ones on the card, even though that...
Well, you're like, a huge fan of Eddie Kingston. I
just really like Eddie Kingston, and I think he's like... He has good promos because he feels like his character is him turned up to 11. But, I mean, honestly, I don't even think that is that. I think it's just totally him as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, his wrestling character is who he is.
But Bryan Danielson's kind of one of the ones that I was referring to, and that they came from WWE, and they really haven't done anything with them.
Yeah, like, he hasn't even, like, I'm surprised that they haven't given a title to him or nothing.
Yeah, so, like, I mean.
And Moxley, they've given all the titles to, but they haven't done it. And maybe it's the decision where Daniel Bryan doesn't want to have the, or Bryan Danielson, whatever, like, doesn't want the belt, maybe? I don't know. Like, maybe, he wants to put over younger talent? Maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know unless, like, he actually comes out and says shit, like, honestly to people, you know?
But, yeah, I like, don't know.
That's the thing. Like, the match was good. Like,
it was good. That's why I said it was meh. You know, it was like, it was 19 minutes and 45 seconds. And it's
mostly because I think Kingston needs a new finisher. I think that's his problem right now. I think he uses his same finishers that he's used for years, right? The Hurricane and then the Stretch Plum thing. I think he to fit his character, I think he needs something new and fresh that will make him, like, do something different, you know?
They also run into the problem with being stale because it reminds me, remember I talked about previously how certain people, their matches, they do the same stuff all the time? And that kind of, Eddie Kingston, it reminds me of that. Like, when he's in a match, you're always going to see the chops. And you're always going to see certain things.
And people were shitting on him for his chops. I'm like, dude, you do realize that in Japanese wrestling, they do those chops a lot. So it's not just him that do the machine gun chops. I mean, I think Machine Gun Carl Anderson probably did them at one point, too. And that's his nickname. So, like, I know that it's not just, and they were like talking about he was doing a light. I'm like, dude, you got to think about he's trying to smack him.
Well, sometimes fast. though, Sometimes it just looks bad because he's doing it so fast.
That's what I'm saying. He's doing it so fast, and he's probably trying to not just wallop whoever he's doing it to.
Right? Part of that's the amount of shape that he's in.
I think that he would. I think people would see him differently if he got into better shape. I mean, you see Kevin Owens, like, he got a lot of shit for, like, even they were, like, I saw something where CM Punk got onto him for wanting to wear a shirt in the ring when he wrestled, and he was like, no, you don't need to have a shirt on. I'm like, dude, everybody can be different. That's the great part about wrestling. Especially when I see Kevin Owens, I'm like, dude, if Kevin Owens could do it, I could do it, right? Mm-hmm. That type of shit. And that's, you need people like that in wrestling. You need everybody to get behind certain people that they're into.
Yeah, just, I was reading about, like, Kevin Owens, and it's very interesting, like, how much tie-in he has to Owen Hart and a lot of his stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, it's his, like, last name is went. Kevin Owens because of Owen Hart.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
And I think their birthday is near the same, and... There's a few other things, like, he's a fan of his, so there's certain things. I was reading about it. I got to look it up again. But
he's probably one of the best wrestlers to ever, like, lace up boots. And, like, Owen and Brett were some of the best wrestlers ever, and he just lost his life way too early. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand why people would say that he would be the greatest of all time and all this stuff. Like, but... My main thing is, like, you see Kevin Owens now. Kevin Owens has lost considerable amount of weight since he was in NXT, even before then. He lost a lot of weight. You could tell. I mean, he probably still doesn't feel fully comfortable ever taking a shirt off, but, like, I mean, probably because he doesn't want to. Even the Evil Uno talks about that. He wanted to eventually get to the point where he could take his shirt off and wrestle in it. And I think he's gotten to the point, actually, now.
It was about the Intercontinental belt. He won it for the exact same amount of days as Owen did. They both had two title runs that totaled the exact same amount of days, so he doesn't want to win it again.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, like,
But anyways, we can move on. That's a cool WWE thing. But, yeah. Did you have anything else to say on the Kingston match? That was another one I didn't
really. Not really. It fit the thing, and then he shook his hand. I feel like the stuff that they did after that kind of sucked, though, because, or at least for Kingston, they did all this shit, and then because there was rumors that Okada was showing up, and then he did.
He lost a week later, didn't he?
Like, literally, like, a week or two later, yeah. Because Okada showed up at, was it before Big Business? He showed up
the Monday after the pay-per-view, if I remember right.
I think it was a smart decision, not really to put him with the Young Bucks, but to put him as a heel, because he's been a face in New Japan for so long. So, like, it's probably, like, something that he probably wanted to do in the first place was to be a heel, but I don't think it's going to last long. If anything, he's going to get pissed off at the Young Bucks and then take them out at one point. So, like, and then, so they do this match and he wins and this and that, and I thought they were going to give him, like, a kind of a biggish title run, and then he loses to Okada, like, a week or two later. I'm like, what? I'm like, damn, like, and people were saying disrespect to, like, Eddie Kingston. This ain't the last time you're going to see Eddie Kingston with a title belt. Let's just be honest. Obviously, Tony likes Eddie Kingston because, and even New Japan cares about Eddie Kingston now because they're giving him title belts, which they weren't giving him before. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, he's turned his shit around. Like, a lot of people have talked about how disrespectful he was, or he was holding himself back in wrestling. And it probably does make sense. He probably was the person holding him back. Like, his attitude or whatever, he probably didn't want to change who he was. for people. So like, and because you see him talk about other people, and he just doesn't give a shit. It seems like, and I think that that's one thing I like about Eddie Kingston is that he just feels like a real dude, and like you don't. There's the reason why he's a babyface right now is that you'd like to cheer for him because I think everybody has been kind of in the similar place. Or at least a lot of people have been in kind of the similar place, like people like doubting you and shit like that. So I think he's not going to be a heel for a while because, I mean, most of the time, I think back when I knew that he was in Ring of Honor and all this other stuff, he was mostly a heel. Mm-hmm. So I'm just intrigued with what they're doing. I hope that they don't just do nothing with Eddie Kingston after this. So
yeah.
And so what was the next match after that?
The next match was Wardlow, who was with Adam Cole, Mike Bennett, and Matt Taven. He defeated Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, who was out there with Jake the Snake, Hook, Brian Cage, who was with Prince Nana, Magnus, and Dante Martin. And this was an all-star scramble match where the winner would receive a future championship match.
Yeah.
And considering how many people were,
Wardlow was going to win it.
Well, yeah, but considering how many people were in the match, it didn't go very long. It was only 15 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, this was one of those that's like
all over the place.
So. Well, that's what I was saying. It was all over the place. And this is another one where Chris Jericho had to be on the card.
Oh, and yeah, because he was in the match, yeah. And then Darius Martin from Top Flight.
Dante Martin.
Golly,
he had
like he
so many
moves.
Botches. I was just going to point that out because that was the one thing I remember besides things that happened a little bit later that I remember from
like
the card.
Like at one point, I think it was like he stepped up on the top rope, then he jumped down, then he jumped up and again and did a move. Like and people were shitting on it, and I mean, I get it.
It looked like shit. Like,
well, that's what
I remember because I
like,
pointed it out.
That's the bad part about doing flippy wrestling, though. Mm-hmm. It's like, especially a dude that's trying to be fast and everything else.
But
like,
that's why I
that's the difference
think
between him and
so
Ricochet,
good.
Though.
Ricochet
is that Ricochet
he
is on
mess
point.
Up. Yeah,
yeah, he's on point every time. Same with Will Ospreay. They don't miss a beat. Barely ever do I see them bounce moves.
And I remember when Logan Paul faced Ricochet, Ricochet made Logan Paul look excellent.
Yeah.
Because he was catching him when he fucked up and all types of stuff. I remember all that. But this one, when you falter, it's even more magnified. And that's what I remember from this match. Now, out of who was there, I was like, it's going to be Wardlow.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, who else was it going to be? Lance Archer was just in the match because they haven't done shit with him.
Yeah.
Talk about a dude that they've had signed and they haven't done fuck all with him. That was Lance Archer. They haven't done anything with him. Like, literally, I think at one point he was in with the Gates of Agony on Ring of Honor, and that's pretty much it. I'm like,
well, and this Brian is a Cage guy. Is another one that hops around. He has an angle, and then he has a different one. Then he has a different one.
Yeah, and
then
literally it seemed like he was in four different factions at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was in the Mogul Embassy, he was in with Team FTW. Then he went from that to something else. Then he went to Mogul Embassy. It's like they don't know how to build him up like a – and it's sad, you know, that it's like you ain't even giving him a shot to, like – I don't know. That's the problem that I'm seeing with this shit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying that the Undisputed Kingdom has shit the bed, and I kind of agree because they haven't done anything right with these guys. Like, I get the whole using Samoa Joe to get the title, but like I would have been like, no, just beat the shit out of MJF and then do something where you get the title or something.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and they could have done something where, like, they could have said, oh, like, Adam Cole gets into the match, like, at one point. After Samoa Joe does stuff, Wardlow comes in, beats the shit out of Samoa Joe, you know, pulls some shit into it, where then Adam Cole comes in and then pins him, wins the belt. Then he could say, for however long he's out, he can't wrestle anybody because he's hurt. You know, that could tell a story with that and then say, and it'd be like Wardlow's going to represent me as anybody. If I have to make title defenses, Wardlow's going to defend for me. Mm-hmm. And then and talk about like even worse after that and being like Adam Cole getting real, because they kind of started that with Wardlow already, because Wardlow, I guess, lost the match with Samoa Joe, and then Adam Cole showed up on a video thing and was like, oh, you failed. So now you gotta like make sure that these guys don't lose their belts. Essentially. Yep. You're on the shit list. I'm like, if they would have done that and had him represent him and do all this shit, and then even say like he lost in a match or something and then made Adam Cole lose it or something and come up with a reason, and that way it's like echoing the MJF stuff with making Wardlow kind of turn face again, kind of to a certain degree, but like it would make more sense to do that than to do what they were doing with Samoa Joe winning. Because why would you make MJF, where they were beating him down all the time, where he had no luck beating him, or like, you know, just like the devil beating the shit out of him constantly, eventually wearing him down enough to lose the belt, why didn't they do it where it wasn't against Samoa Joe? You know, because why are you going to give it to a stronger guy, like, to wrestle, you know, like, more of a problem for Wardlow or somebody else, you know? If you want to get the title off of somebody, you would do it to a weaker dude to take the title off of him. Mm-hmm. Or at least in my eyes, if I was a smart guy, I would be like, Swerve or literally anyone else. I mean, probably not Swerve, but probably, like, Hangman or something, because they've shown, like, Hangman could get knocked out easily with Swerve and shit. You know, could have done literally anyone else other than Samoa Joe, because now they're going to have issues with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's the second to the last match of the card. But the next one is Roderick Strong defeated Orange Cassidy for the International Championship.
And talk about something that echoed the same fucking shit with Jon Moxley. But in a weaker fashion, literally almost, I mean, granted, it makes sense. I'm like, why didn't they just wait for Orange Cassidy to drop it to Roderick Strong here? They didn't even need to give it to Jon Moxley for that time. They could have had Orange Cassidy do this all the way to here and then get wrecked by Roderick Strong.
Yeah, they and then, well, and the one thing, again, this match was, eh. It, and it went, for me anyways, and it went 12 minutes and 45 seconds. Well, it was the second shortest on the card. Well,
that's why I say this hit beat for beat pretty much the same shit that Jon Moxley did. Because all it was mainly Jon Moxley or Roderick Strong beating the shit out of Orange Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Orange Cassidy fought back. Couldn't do it enough. You know, couldn't withstand it, so then he lost.
Yeah.
Essentially the same match.
The only good thing that people. Came out of this no. was that Kyle O'Reilly showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end.
And that's the, which I haven't even seen that they've done anything with him yet.
I don't think so. I haven't seen anything. So,
like,
either.
He showed up and it's like he was able to. So, essentially, they gave him a shirt and then he was like, I don't know, and then walked out. Mm hmm. And I was like, oh, that's cool now that Kyle O'Reilly's good, because he it, like, sounds like he had health scares and everything else with his injury and stuff, which, like, I've said this enough. Like, I really love Kyle O'Reilly. I love Roderick Strong, too. It's mostly because I love his backbreaker shit. I think that's one thing that I like him more than Jon Moxley. I feel he is more of a threat because he could legit, like, hurt somebody. Like, Jon Moxley feels like he pretends to me. Like, hey, I'm making you bleed and stuff like that. But, like, and like you getting your back broken, like, bright backbreakers over and over and over and over again would be more of a threat to me than making you bleed. Because he'll just punch you in the head until you start bleeding or whatever. Like, I feel like breaking your back is worse than fucking whatever John Moxley does. But, I mean, that's just me. But, I mean, I'm also very tired of John Moxley.
Oh, I've been tired of him for a while, and that brings us to the next match, which was Blackpool Combat Club defeating FTR.
Yeah, and this was what? Like, why?
Yeah,
Why?
that's what I'm saying.
Why?
It was like,
This match helped no one.
yeah, and not only that, it went 21 minutes and 50 seconds. It
Because
was
they
the
didn't do
second
another
longest.
match since then, right?
No, and it was the second longest match on the card.
Yeah, and it did nothing. Like, I'm
I
like,
mean,
it
it's
didn't
crazy
help
how.
FTR, and then it definitely didn't help the Blackpool Combat Club, other than, hey, they're considering them a team now, even though they're all a team. Like, all four, Wheeler Yuta, and all them are a team. Like, technically a faction, but they're a team. They all work together as a unit to take people out. Duh. Like, this helped nobody in the match. And this was the weakest match to me. And I was just kind of like, can it just end? I'm just like so tired of like seeing John Moxley right now is being forced down on me right now. And I'm just like kind of tired of it. And I could see also, and I'm such a huge fan of like Cesaro or Claudio. And now it seems like I could see resemblances on why he never got to the main belt. Like, he had one match before he left.
They
Like,
never really, he never really talks, for one.
well, that's what I'm saying. Even if he doesn't talk or whatever, but like, most of his matches are the same. Like, whether he's a heel or a face, he does the same shit. Like, generally. So, like, and then he doesn't do anything where makes you really feel like you're caring about it. Like, you care about, like, the only thing that I've seen him do, like, that really was of note, like, that kind of, like, made you get behind him was the bar shit. Because he was just doing fire matches with Sheamus the whole time. And then the last little bit of stuff that he did with Roman. But, like, you already knew that he wasn't going to win the belt. And then there was rumors that he was leaving and everything. Mostly because what else could he do? He pretty much did everything that he could do there. So, like, and now he's here and it just doesn't feel like anything's happening.
No, and it's the same. I
And
feel
it's like
this is
all
just
this
another
stuff.
version of the bar.
It just feels like they're just trying to fill time. Like,
Well,
with
that's what I'm
this one,
saying.
it was like trying to have a fill-in match. You want to have John Moxley on there
I kind of
because
mentioned
they're.
it. Like, there's no reason to have a 4-hour pay-per-view if there's no build up to a lot of these
Yeah, if
matches.
there's
You can
nothing
have
that
a
you really care to watch, it's like FTR does fire matches with everyone, just about.
But
But
have build up
I
to it.
don't
That's why I
need
was
to.
saying
Yeah,
that
there's no
just having,
reason that they needed a fight.
yeah,
I
just
thought they
having
were
people,
both faces, right?
yeah.
But like, that's the thing about the Blackpool Combat Club. They ain't showing that they are a ha feel. A face or a heel faction. They're like in-betweeners where they fill them in to be a bad guy with this team, a good guy with this one. And it's just like it's falling flat to me. Like
Yep.
it, and I'm just kind of tired of the Blackpool Combat Club.
Well, and if they're
Especially it
back.
feels weird to call them the Blackpool Combat Club when William Regal isn't in it.
Well, not only that, but they should be destroying people.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
Like,
like.
they started doing that with the Young Bucks and stuff, but they haven't done any of that shit since.
That's the storyline. It's almost like Blackpool Combat Club can be the new Shield, where they go in and they
Which
just
is
wreck
kind of
people.
like where I thought where they were heading. But
Yeah.
like, and I like the whole this is real to me shit, like aspect for their team. Like, where they're like, we're just gonna hurt you. I like that.
Yeah.
Especially like we said before, Wheeler Yuta is the standout.
Yeah.
Like, standout by far. That match where he went against, I think it was John Moxley, and he started bleeding everywhere, and then people got behind him. That is Blackpool Combat Club number one right there. And, like, I like this stuff with Brian, but I love Brian Danielson, period, anyway. I love his wrestling style and his promos and everything. He just feels like a nice dude. But then also it seems like he could be very menacing, too. And that's one thing I like about it. But, like, John Moxley, I'm just tired of his shit, man. And I just definitely didn't. Like, I literally was surprised that FTR lost. And I was like, okay, so does that mean that they're going to do, like, another match and they're going to do, like, a rubber match thing? And then now I haven't even seen anything, so it was like this was fucking pointless. And especially knowing that I think Dax got, I don't know what it was from, but, like, he started bleeding out of nowhere. I didn't...
So yeah, I don't remember I which like, move
what?
It was either.
John
but
Moxley
yeah.
didn't start bleeding.
Yeah. But
so
I mean,
that, oh man,
when that's what you remember during a match is when somebody bled, that's pretty bad.
Well, that's
and it's
what,
funny
and
when
it
you
wasn't
look
John
at,
Moxley.
Yeah, yeah. And but I mean, from that standpoint, again, another meh match.
Yeah.
The next one was even, I don't even know the word, but I like Toni Storm. I think this.
Deonna Purrazzo, like,
yeah,
I could see
but,
why,
but yeah, but I mean, her gimmick right now is brilliant with the whole black and white thing, and how she's acting is total brilliant. And how they had Mariah May come out in her, like, old
oh,
gimmick
yeah, like
was,
doing the old gimmick, yeah, I thought that was,
but
like, because
never,
at first I thought she
Deonna,
was doing the old shit, and then it was like, oh,
yeah,
that's funny,
yeah. Deonna Purrazzo came from Impact, right.
She came from,
or
I
it
think,
was one of those.
I think
but,
she was in Ring of Honor at first. Then she went to WWE and was doing the Cruiserweight Classic, and then she was signed for a little bit. Then she went to Impact, and now she's in AEW.
Yeah.
So she's
and,
been
but,
all over the place.
But yeah, I've never really seen her wrestle until this match, and I did not care for what she did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like they were kind of setting up the feud because they were like saying that they knew each other, that they used to live with each other, and then now it's like different. I don't understand the virtuosa thing because her wrestling style does not.
No.
Perform
yeah.
like she knows because I thought a virtuoso was like somebody that was well skilled at
yeah,
everything.
That's exactly
right?
what it means.
So
yeah.
like she does not feel like she is well known on every level of wrestling to have the name.
Yeah,
because
it's another version
okay.
of what's her name? Sabrina Deeb's kind of gimmick when she was
yeah.
wrestling
yeah,
in AEW.
Yeah.
It was like I can't remember what her name was, but anyway. Yeah, this match was the shortest on the card. It was a little over 12 minutes. But I could have done without this one, too.
Yeah, it's mostly because it's like, I would have much rather seen somebody else go against Toni Storm, honestly. Like, I mean, for people that end up having such a huge, like, they have a lot of people in AEW, like, especially females, like Willow and all this stuff. It just seems like they got the virtuosa thing. Just because they wanted to extend her reign out a little bit more.
Well,
because
and
I don't think she's doing anything else right now. Like, I don't know who she's wrestling against now, but.
Tell
like,
you one match
to
I'd
me,
like to see, but is Saraya versus Ruby Soho at some point.
Well, yeah, I think eventually that's going to happen. But, like,
yeah.
I hate seeing romance angles, man. I'm so tired of, like, that shit.
With her,
it's
with
so
Angelo
played
Parker.
Out.
Yeah.
It's like. Okay, two people are dating. Oh, wow, who cares? And then it's like, why the fuck should Saraya give a shit about who she's dating?
Yeah,
and then now they're like, oh, I was hoping that you would date Zach, my brother. Who
yeah.
gives a shit? Like,
yeah.
really? No one cares about who's somebody dating in the wrestling thing.
But her brother
it's
looks
like
a cheap version
a
of
rip,
Karrion
a rip
Kross.
Off of Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
I said this shit when I saw it first. I was like, it's like when you order I can't even cross off a wish.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck, dude? Because even like the vent and the jacket looked the same. I'm not taking anything away from Zach, right? Not taking away. It's just fun. It was just funny seeing the first introduction of him in AEW, and then he was like looking like he was trying to be Karrion Kross, which was funny. And especially now, old Karrion Kross when he was doing the fucking TikTok shit in NXT, I should say. And like when he had shorter hair, like the bald hair and stuff like that. But like, I don't really give a shit about that. I'm like seeing Saraya versus Ruby Soho, but they could have done something different than did the story. Where like they even split up Toni Storm and shit, but like Saraya and Toni Storm are still heels. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what did the breakup do? Like, I understand if Toni Storm was playing the Timeless character as a face.
Well, we talked about this a long time ago, and in my opinion, they started this out the right way. This could have been the women's version of NWO, where the WWE people came into AEW, all of them. And I'm talking about like even Mercedes Moné at this point could have joined the group, and they could have taken over AEW. But they broke that up like really quick. I'm like, why did they do that? Like literally, like, they could have all formed a faction and done exactly the same thing. Like, they could have taken over the show. They could have done from a women's perspective.
They were even doing an NWO thing where they were doing the green spray painting.
Yeah, it was like,
I was like, what are you doing? How do you fumble so hard with this shit? Like, it was literally written, like, I understand. Mercedes Moné showed up, like, way later. And I honestly think that WWE fumbled hard, but also at the same time, you never know how much money she was asking. If she was asking for, like, a super outrageous amount of money, she probably did, because she saw her own self-worth. If she thought that she was worth that money, then she might as well get your bag. And, if nobody and else more is power go to
her,
it.
If AEW gave her the if money, AEW I'd go after her, too. If AEW gave her
fucking a shit ton of money, go get your bag, okay? But, like, I would like you to, like, perform. Like, I just hope that what I've been seeing from her right now, I'm not enthused about, but I hope that at one point they're leading to Saraya versus Mercedes Moné. If they're both in AEW, I hope that that's where they build to.
Her promos at one have point, been kind of atrocious.
At one point.
I can tell you that. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not a huge fan of it right now. Like, I haven't seen anything where I'm, like, giving a shit. They're just, like, putting her with Willow, where it seems like they're going to feud at one point. I'm like, Saraya versus Mercedes Moné, it's built together. You don't even have to. You just say, hey, she's the first person that broke my neck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, granted, like, she didn't mean to do it, but, like, that's all in the storytelling. I know that you're trying to be careful with Saraya, too, but fuck, man, it could tell the story. Now, granted, because I don't think Saraya is going to be, like, cross to the idea, like she wouldn't be open to it, you know. Like, I think if she's thinking about money or whatever, I don't think that she has any ill will towards Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné or whatever. But like,
well, she said she didn't because she actually asked for the move. Like, she's talked about it in the past. As Saraya asked for her to do that move, it just happened to hurt her.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't, she said she's taken that bump numerous times and it didn't do anything to her. And this one just happened to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I mean, with that being said, I don't really want to, I mean, we don't need to continue on down in this path.
I know. I was just saying while we were talking about it.
Like, yeah. I mean, I kind of want to move on to what was my number one match of the evening. Was Will Ospreay defeating Konosuke Takeshita.
Oh, yeah. Hands down, it was probably the best match of the year for me. Yeah, it's, like, so good. But like, I was just like, fuck. Because this shows how good Takeshita is, too. If you could hang, like, granted, Ospreay can sell the fuck out of shit for you.
Well, they both
but
did
like,
in this match. I
that's
remember
what I'm saying.
They went
sold
back
the
and
fuck out for each
this
other.
Was
in this
was 22
match.
Minutes, and it was constant movement. I don't know if there was a time when they stopped moving. I mean,
the whole time they were going, and then I'm just like, it just shows like how good of wrestlers both of them are. Now, if Takeshita could talk as well as Ospreay could, I think it would be another story. Like, he would be a future, like, world champion, go to, like, WWE at one point and shit like that, because he is a damn good wrestler. And it really shows in these matches when he's going against guys like Ospreay, because he could definitely hang in this match.
Yeah.
There was, like, way and too much damn and, good shit that happened in this
every
match.
Every match I've seen Ospreay do, the dude's incredible. He should be the title holder in this freaking
dude. I'm telling you,
place
for hopefully
years.
At All In, like I would like to have it where he wins it before then. Like I don't want him to wait all the way up until what was All In? I think it was like May or something, right? May or well, June or something.
Yeah. But you know that's probably like, what's going to happen because it happened with Saraya. Like we called that shit last year that Saraya
well, that's
would
what I'm
win
saying.
The title.
I would hope that he would at least defend or something.
But I don't
there.
Know what
but, like,
title
yeah.
it'll be because honestly, you know, the match was great. Five stars, huge, best match of the card. But I don't know if there's not a crazy amount to say about it, except for the fact they moved back and forth constantly. They took bumps, each of them did. I mean, honestly, Will Ospreay got his ass whooped for a good chunk of it.
Yeah, a good chunk of it, yeah. Like, and, he got the kicks in the face and everything.
Yeah.
That's, man. Them damn German suplexes, too.
Yeah.
Fucking shit.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, my God. That's one thing I worry about now is, like, seeing people land on their necks and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And
especially
he did
with
it,
all
like,
the...
several fucking times, and there were some few moves that were like, holy fuck.
Yeah. It wasn't
was just like,
the
what
worst
the fuck?
Move on the card. We'll talk about in the last match. But, but it was that dude is just nuts. Darby Allin is just crazy. But I mean, I don't know. I don't have much. Do you? How much more do you have to say on that match, though? I mean, it was the best match
I mean,
of the
like,
card.
It was great, and I definitely think that if any match out of AEW that would probably watch again, it's probably that.
Oh yeah,
I mean, there's a few that I've gotten close to rewatching again just because of how good they were.
My number two match on the card, and this tells you something. The number two match for me is the next one, where Samoa Joe defeated Hangman and Swerve Strickland.
And Swerve, yeah.
But
yeah.
My problem is I think Swerve should have won this match, not Samoa Joe.
I agree, hands down. And because I don't think Samoa Joe really needs the damn title.
He doesn't,
really.
And Swerve has busted his ass for the last
few
months.
Yeah, he has fucking gotten himself over so bad.
Well,
like, in this shit with him and Hangman, where they even did a double turn, it seemed like, the whole time.
And we didn't talk about it because we didn't do the podcast on Wrestle Dream, but that was the, I believe that one was the one.
That was the one where they did the hardcore match. It was like Last Man Standing or whatever it was called.
Yeah. And that was the first match between them, and that was a great match. And Swerve won that one, if I remember
right. Yeah, which I was so surprised that they actually had him win it.
Yeah, and well, and we were there. The crowd was behind him because he's actually from Tacoma, so it was Swerve. It was truly Swerve's house. That night, so that made sense why he won. But I just think he's been head and shoulders above Hangman and Samoa Joe for the last few months.
Yeah, promo skills and everything.
Yeah.
Like, just talking about, like, what they had on Dynamite. Motherfucker, dude. They were doing a contract signing with him and fucking Samoa Joe because I guess for Dynasty it's going to be Swerve and Samoa Joe. And you know Hangman's going to interfere because he interfered and he made sure that Swerve didn't get the title. And that's the crux that I love about this match, though. I love how it's like it's and Hangman's gonna make it his mission to make sure he doesn't win it. And that's one thing that I love about it is that it's not just putting this guy like on the back burner, like he's losing matches or whatever. At least it has a story written into it, like Hangman's set at, and it fits for Hangman's character too, because Swerve was a piece of shit to him the whole time and threatened his family, did all this shit, and then like even how he could be a heel, he would be like, dude, it's literally like night and day Bret Hart shit, where like he would be like, you turned your back on me. I thought I was a good person and I cared about my family and this and that, and you turn my back on me or turn your back on me to fucking support this guy that pretty much trying to hurt my family, this and that. So screw all of you. And that's pretty much how like it, and it fits his character the whole time. Like Hangman's story completely works. That's one thing I think they do super well, and I'm wondering if Hangman has something to do with it. Like him doing it, and like it's mostly his thing. It's that he wants his story to be like a realistic one. So like he plays a dude that's just how a person would act in a lot of these situations. Like even though the crowd is cheering Swerve, Swerve is a piece of shit. Like especially in the previous ones where he tried to kill him with the fucking chain and stuff. So like, so it all fits. And like same with the finish. That's why I think that the finish was good, because it's building up the Hangman versus Swerve story too.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's really the only one on the card that had a storyline that has been a while.
Yeah, that's been a while,
The
yeah.
rest of the stuff was kind of thrown together and just put on
And
the
it
card.
feels like Samoa Joe was
Even,
just there
yeah,
in the
even,
match too.
even the final match, which we're going to talk about in a second, Sting and Darby Allin came out with Ric Flair and Sting's two sons, Garrett Borden and Stephen Borden
Yeah,
Jr.
and Dragon or Ricky the
And
Dragon
Ricky the
Steamboat came
Dragon,
out too.
yeah. But they defeated the Young Bucks, which I know in talking, Sting did not want to win this match. He actually wanted to
Oh,
lose.
really?
Yeah.
Oh, he talked about it.
Because if you think about it, nobody wins their final match, but they were really
Yeah.
pushing for him to win it. They wanted him to go out with a win.
Oh, the
So,
Young Bucks wanted him to win
yeah.
it. That makes sense because they feel like they would be super nice dudes. It
So
seems
yeah,
like.
this was, as you guys know that pay attention to wrestling, this was Sting's retirement match. But the biggest thing that came out of this match was Darby Allin doing a coffin drop onto a glass panel
Dude, I swear to
that
God,
was
this
laying
guy's
on chairs.
crazy, dude.
Yeah,
I
there was no.
saw this shit like
Well,
fucking
there.
right before we started
He
watching
did it off a ladder,
it.
and
Yeah.
there's no padding. The dude hit the
Yeah.
ground.
And straight up just glass. Straight up glass.
It's like, what
That's
the
all.
shit?
It was like glass and chairs.
And that's not the
That's all
first thing that
it
this dude's
could
done in a match. I mean, it's like
Yeah.
fucking.
And it was
I'm
like in
still.
the first. I thought it was going to be near the end of the match or
Yeah, it was
something
near the
like that.
middle
And
of
it
it.
was
Yeah.
like first 5 minutes or something of the match because the match wasn't super long.
No, it was
It was
20
all.
minutes. It was
Yeah.
21
So,
minutes,
like,
but I mean,
probably in the
yeah.
first 10 minutes or 8 or 10 minutes, he does this move and then he was out for like
Yeah,
eight
it
or
was
something
like, I
because
get.
Sting's kids came out and then they were, and did typical like. Stinger splashes and stuff like that, and they were talking. They were giving props to the NWO Sting's and splash, like
Well,
because they're
that,
like, "Damn, that motherfucker's got
yeah,
house. They need to give him a
Junior
contract."
was jumping in the air, man.
Yeah, like
Because I think
so, like
Garrett Borden was wearing the blue stuff, and then
yeah,
Junior
so
was
like
wearing the red stuff. But.
so it was just funny. So they did that, and then they were beating up on each other and this and that. And then I forgot how it got turned, but of course it was going to turn to Young Bucks doing something. But it took a long while, and I
Well,
think
yeah, and
the way
Sting
it
did his
first
normal.
turned
I
was
take
the
about
missing
50
the
bumps. Yeah.
yeah, like he missed the fucking coffin drop or whatever off the ladder. I think that's what turned the match.
Well, it was essentially 1-on-2 for
I think it was
most
something
of the
before
match.
That, too. But, like, they pulled out tables, and then they did all sorts of shit in this match. And I was like, are they really going to have Sting lose the match or whatever? But then as soon as it was, like, I think 15 minutes in, when they started to do stuff where Darby wasn't even in the ring, and then they started super kicking Sting, and then they did the VTE trigger, which I think they called it something else now. Maybe they still call it the VTE thing. I know that they changed the move for the Dave Meltzer driver to the Tony Khan driver now.
Yeah, but I don't know if they changed the VTE one.
Today. Well, that's what I was saying. They might have kept that one the same. But, yeah, so it was just funny. The whole match, you could tell beat for beat was the stuff. And I'm like, fucking Sting, what are you doing? He was jumping off of all sorts of shit. I get, like, adrenaline
he was throwing on
hitting,
tables.
And,
but it was also
yeah,
his last match. It's like, go out with a bang,
was,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what... So, but still, I still worry about the dude because he's old as shit. Like, I don't remember how old he is now.
He's not as old as Ric Flair.
Yeah, but... like, I think Ric Flair's in his 80s now. But, like, I think Sting is, like, in maybe early 70s, maybe. Or even, like, late 60s, maybe.
Ric Flair is 75.
Oh, 75. So, probably, Sting is probably... late 60s, early 70s then.
Sting is 65. He's one. God, he's yeah. right about the age of our parents.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, like, still doing this shit, and he was no-selling stuff. He was getting super kicked in the face, no-selling it and shit. I was like, golly, dude.
But yeah, I mean...
I was just
again,
worried for Sting.
It was the whole time. It was the... meh match though, honestly. I mean,
yeah,
you could,
like I
all that you could really I talk about it. Is the coffin drop, and it was talked about yeah. for weeks afterwards.
Yeah, and they were like, and then so many people were shitting on him for like doing it too.
Well,
like,
he could do what
like,
he wants.
Oh, like,
it's like,
yeah, he's got the freedom to do like yeah. these crazy stunts if he feels like doing it. Like he's gonna be like Mick Foley later on in life. Right, like where he's
oh,
gonna
yeah,
be fucking hurt
yeah.
and shit, like all the damn time. But I mean, like that's one thing about Jeff Hardy's body. It's like I'm surprised that he isn't like full on hurting all the time,
well,
like in the same like condition that Mick Foley is.
But honestly, that's probably why he drinks. He probably,
yeah,
you know,
probably
drinks
to numb
away
the
pain
or whatever. Yeah,
but he's also I talked about this in previous podcasts. Jeff Hardy is kind of floppy and. Darby Allin's kind of the same way. Like when they
yeah.
hit, they kind of just flop. You know, it's
yeah.
like so they don't take all this contact. Like,
oh, like yeah,
square.
Like they don't get it. Yeah, it probably goes throughout their whole body, so it doesn't hurt them as much.
It's just a guess, but the fact that he's either that or he's just got a fucking crazy pain threshold because the dude
yeah
does worse stuff than Hardy ever did.
Yeah, like, he fucking
I mean,
does shit where I'm just like...
That damn coffin
like,
drop on
like,
the steps
he's gotten,
that he did that
well,
time.
What was
like,
it? Like, the one where he got beat up by Bullet Club Gold and shit, and he got chokeslammed off the apron and shit.
Yeah.
There's, like, so much damn shit that I'm just like, you don't need to do all of this. I care about... Like, you are a great wrestler by yourself. You don't need to do these crazy stunts.
But I know he got hurt. He got hurt to the point where he won't be able to climb Mount Everest like he wanted to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
because
I
know
I
he was saying
that
he wanted to do it, but, like, I
yeah.
didn't realize that he was that hurt. Fuck.
Yeah.
But, I
so,
mean, also at the same time, he could put off a certain amount of time and then fucking still go.
Yeah. True.
So, essentially, that's what he talked about, too. I think it was on Dynamite, right? Because he wasn't saying it. During, because they
yeah,
talked about
so.
A bit, like, after the match, where he was talking about, he was like, you know I would die for you in this match, knowing that it's your final one, and this and that. So, like, I think after this, then he started talking about that he was going to take time away because he was going to do Mount Everest and shit. And that's when
yeah.
Bull Club Gold turned on him. Or, like, beat him up or whatever. Because
yeah.
they were trying to do, like, Jay White was the nice guy. Then they did the match between them both. And then he, like, kicked him in the dick or something. I don't remember what it was. And then they're like, what? Scissor gang bang done. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a game.
Yeah, I heard that. but yeah, so that was the final, that was the final match of the card though. So
yeah.
And so the next podcast we'll be doing, it'll be WrestleMania.
Yeah, it'll be WrestleMania. I'm figuring that we're probably going to lump them both in together. That way we don't, I don't know, it might be just a big, like, one.
Well, it depends on how. There are, there's a, like, 14 matches total or something like that. I sent you the card.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
But,
yeah, there's a lot.
That's coming up this weekend, so we hope to push that out in the next week.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll be, hopefully. We got, a few podcasts that we got to end up doing, so, hopefully if everything works out, at least sometime next week we'll be able to have it out.
Hopefully. But yeah, if you guys, hopefully you guys have enjoyed the podcast, and if you guys haven't liked and subscribed to our channel already, hit,
do all the socials.
Yeah,
everybody's streaming and everything.
Yeah, we'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want to be notified, just click that bell and you'll get notified when the new podcast, new videos, all that good stuff come out. We're streaming, like Josh said, on Twitch quite regularly. I'm under Heart of Geek, and then my brother Aaron's under Aaron Christopher TV.
And then I'm under Rockified Fatty, even though that I stream a lot less. But so before we end the podcast, I just want to kind of mention the CM Punk's, the interviews and stuff, because I'm getting tired of seeing stuff where people are either shitting on CM Punk or totally behind CM Punk. He did an interview just a few days ago. I think it was for WrestleMania stuff, Ariel Helwani, where essentially he talks about the events from Brawl Out and All In and everything before he quit. Uh-huh. So he says about stuff about Jack Perry and stuff like that. Doesn't really say that any of it's his fault. Essentially, he says, he tells Tony Khan on certain instances with Jack Perry about breaking glass with, he talks about breaking something with the car where he wanted to destroy the window of a rental car. So several people told him not to do it. And then he still was adamant with them and cursing out people and stuff like that. So CM Punk came up to him and told him, we can't do that shit because otherwise no one will rent cars to us anymore. This and that. Understandable. It doesn't, you could find ways around things where you don't have to break windows off of shit or tear them off like Brock Lesnar did. So if this is 100% what the case was, sounds like Jack Perry wanted to do his fucking shit and then he got butthurt because people told him no. Because they said that this was previous before even All In happened. So then when he did the Crow Crimey River, this and that, and then he mentioned that he didn't punch Jack Perry, but he did choke him a little bit. So until Samoa Joe split it up and so on and so forth. So pretty much he doesn't say he apologizes for anything that he does. He just says he is doing a line in the sand with everything that happened. He just kind of he told them that they ain't going to like what he does. if he's forced into having to solve a situation, they ain't going to like what he does. And he called Tony Khan a clown. And to me, I kind of agree with him and kind of don't. I feel like he is who he is and he is not going to change. And I don't know him personally.
You said CM Punk called Tony Khan a clown?
Yes, he called Tony Khan a clown.
Said of course he would. He has a history of doing that. He called Vince McMahon one too. I mean,
yes. What I'm saying, to a degree, I think that he is just 100% him. And if you don't do stuff that he likes or wants to get done, he will call you a clown or bash you or whatever. And that's why I think that, to me, I get where he's coming from, but also at the same time, you need to grow up. I think there's certain ways to handle a situation that doesn't come across like You need to choke somebody out. Like, I get you getting few. Like, I don't know the situation because I wasn't there, but I know I've gotten into situations where people have been very difficult in my face, and then I get angry, and then I start yelling and do
Well,
stuff that I don't want to do. But you have a conscience, you have certain things that you could do to get away from the things. Like, walk away, or just say, hey, I'm gonna go wrestle. And I think if you were a 40-year-old man, like how old is he now? Like 43 or something
he's
like that?
45. He's almost as old as
45.
I am.
Okay, if you're a 45-year-old man, you need to grow up. Like, you need to stop having all this anger and quit trying to blame other people for shit.
Well, that's
Like,
always somebody else's fault. That's why
yes,
I'm like,
you go
that's.
and talk about the whole time where you want to talk to a lawyer, or you want a lawyer around every time you talk to Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana obviously wants to stop with the fucking shit and cares about you, because that's why he wanted to talk to you. Okay? Because nobody just wants to be like, hey, can we hash this shit out, if they didn't care about you. Okay? Like, because honestly, they wouldn't have given a shit and wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I'm saying grow up. I don't know the whole circumstance for everything, because everybody's private and doesn't need to tell anybody everything. But fans, leave the shit alone. You can have the opinion of, like, not liking somebody, like not liking him as a wrestler, not liking him like a wrestler, whatever the hell. Like, but you don't need to put your two cents in when you weren't there. You don't know all. You know of what he's telling you as his truth.
Yeah.
Like, if Jack Perry came out and said something conflicting, where it was a totally different thing, then you'd usually meet somewhere in the middle, and usually that's where the truth is. Okay? I am getting so tired of wrestling fandom right now, because when I keep seeing stuff where it's about Roman or anyone else, it's either half this, half that, when I'm definitely tired of the coalescing nature where it's AEW is like WCW. I want them to be two totally different things, and people keep referencing AEW versus WWE. Why can't they just be two separate things where you could watch both? Stop fighting about two different. It's apples and oranges,
Well,
okay?
part of that's because they're both doing it, though. I mean,
Well,
it's like
that's what I'm saying. That's why I even
AEW
say.
will never beat WWE. They
Yeah,
will
it's
never
never
do
going
it.
to come close.
So
It's never going to come close.
to
This
even
Netflix deal
try
and
makes
everything, yeah, even
that
talking
proved it.
about the shit.
I said that last time when we were talking about the WWE pay-per-view or premium
Yeah,
live event.
like
The
literally
fact that
talking
they
about the
got a
Netflix thing.
$5 billion deal tells you they won. Like they're
Yeah,
AEW can't even get a new deal with Time Warner. So it's
yeah,
like.
it's like, dude, and that's the main thing. And like, enjoy what you want to enjoy, okay? Stop making it
Yeah.
like the WWE's all bad.
But also, if
Sure,
you
I
put out
get
good content,
irritated.
you could get up there with them. But
Well,
right now,
that's
I
what I'm
don't feel
saying.
they're putting out
You
crazy good content. They're just
stop focusing on anti-WWE or
well, part
anti-AEW shit, and just fucking do out a good product, man.
But this is also the last thing I'm going to say, and I think we should end the podcast because we're already
No,
sitting at
that's what I was already like figuring, yeah.
an hour and 15 minutes. But the part of the problem I see with AEW right now is they bring in these wrestlers and they're giving them creative control, almost all of them. So
Yeah.
it's like sometimes you don't need to do that. Like create the storylines for them. Sometimes
Yeah.
stuff happens
Yeah.
organically, but I
It's
think what is
yeah.
happening in AEW is a lot of these bigger wrestlers that are in the group. Mercedes Moné is one of them. I think she has control over what she's doing right now
Oh
a lot.
yeah, what yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why she's not looking very good, because
Yeah.
WWE had more control over her gimmick than she did, and it made her look better.
And I agree with that. Like, I think that certain things that they end up doing, like, I think there's a certain give and take between them both. I think that's, they need to meet somewhere in the middle. I don't think that they need to have full control. It's like one thing when you end up having certain aspects that are controlled.
Well, like, nobody's big enough to me. Like, nobody's big enough in AEW to have creative control over their stuff. Yeah. Nobody's big enough. Like, you don't have a Hulk Hogan. That made sense with WCW that he would have say in what he did. He'd been around for 20-some-odd years before he went there.
Like 30 years or whatever,
Ric Flair, Sting, those guys make sense that they would have creative control over their stuff. But, like, MJF, no. Sorry, he hadn't been around long enough.
That's why when CM Punk was talking about, like, how he was like, I thought we were supposed to sell tickets and sell merch and shit, and then obviously it wasn't the case. Obviously, that just sounds like that he was just wanting to put out a good wrestling product, like Tony was, and he wasn't giving a shit about, like, the money that went into it and stuff like that. And I think that there's a dichotomy, I think that's the right word, where you have to have both. If you want it to be successful, you need to make money.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be like, hey, I'm going to lower down my ticket sales to make sure that I fill out my arena, even though that I'm not making money. I'm just putting forth the image that I'm making money, even though I'm not. I think that's the problem. Like, and the ratings are going down and all this shit. It's like, I just wanted to say, because it's kind of like with AEW at the time, about the CM Punk stuff.
And to tell
people that they need to relax, dude. Like, for real, we're supposed to have fun.
I totally get it, but CM Punk's part of the problem.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying.
I wanted to point out that.
And some people were saying that he has a different viewpoint when he's in WWE now. He was like, he's nice and shit, but he wouldn't have the same freedom there.
I guarantee you, he started off the same way in AEW. Then he got power hungry in his head because of how they brought him in. And, you know, they created collision after the first incident where he decided to say whatever the fuck he wanted during that media scrum. So then collision was created for all these wrestlers that didn't want to wrestle with everybody else.
Yeah.
And then he shouldn't even have that
as a conversation.
Yeah, but even with that, you do that. That's what I'm saying. You give the wrestlers too much say in what the fuck's happening. No,
especially
you own them,
like making
you
two separate shows. Yeah.
And I always say, you're paying them. You tell them what the fuck they're going to be doing.
Yeah,
and they may not be happy
not
with it.
Be
they can have say into what they're doing. No, it's all right. they can have say into what they're doing. I'm not saying not to have say, but not to have control over it.
Yeah,
because
like they shouldn't fully have control.
It's not their job. Their job is to
get
in the ring and do their job.
Yeah,
they need to wrestle
money,
and cut promos.
Like, that's get
what,
money, pretty much.
So,
but
yeah,
tickets,
I mean,
get money.
But yeah, I mean, CM Punk, he's been injured more than he's wrestled. So I mean, that's
especially
part of the,
now. So
yeah,
like, man. He gets in the Royal Rumble and gets injured again. So I am a fan of CM Punk, but lately I've just been tired of this shit. I want people to grow up and do their and like be around people. First off, you don't have to like Cole Cabana, but you could at least talk to him. Like, at least to find it. You didn't need a lawyer around. That just sounds like being an asshole right there.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but
where,
I mean, we
don't
know the
backstory. You want to just talk to him for a minute?
But you don't know the backstory, but at the same
that's
time,
what I'm
I don't
saying.
Know if
I don't know what Colt Cabana did,
I
don't know the whole story. So, like, and I won't, because I don't know these two people personally.
Yeah, I also don't know if it matters, but at the same
time. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand if people don't like each other, but you don't have to like fucking act like other people are like getting people out of their jobs and this and that. Like, just fucking do your job, man.
But yeah, so for everybody that made it to this point of the podcast, we greatly appreciate it. If you're enjoying this content, like I said earlier, and you haven't liked and subscribed our channel or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. Just hit that button. You'll hear this content pretty much every month when there's a pay-per-view event out. So
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And then we've got other podcasts out there that you'll see under the Heart of Geek label. So there's Scream Creeps for our horror fans out there. We've got Sci-Fi Graveyard for our sci-fi enthusiasts. We've got Theater Junkies for all the new premieres that are coming out that we deem, I guess, appropriate to talk about on a podcast. Like, we'll be talking about much. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, and...
what's it called? Godzilla Kong.
A New Empire. We might talk about First Omen, maybe on Scream Creeps, or on Theater like Junkies.
That. There's another one, too, that I saw. Yeah. But I can't remember.
Civil War comes out next week, but the other one is Morbid Instinct is our true crime podcast. At some point, I'll start my sports podcast called The Scoreboard.
Which I need to do something about the anime one, but I just haven't figured out.
But yeah, so that's everything under the Heart of Geek Network. You see all the videos on YouTube currently. You just click a playlist for that particular podcast and you'll see them. But,
yep.
Josh, you can go ahead.
Thank you for for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in the next podcast for WrestleMania Night 1 and 2.
Yep.
We
have a good one, everyone, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.